Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, it's the Olympic medal round, dude. And unfortunately, we couldn't make it to be face-to-face. I am in Sochi.
Yes.
And you are in the Dudes on Hockey studio, dude.
I can see you have no doorknobs, dude.
I have no doorknobs, but it doesn't matter because USA is on track for a medal, dude. So I'll go without doorknobs. I'll go without any sort of semblance of real food. I would go sleep with the dogs in the street.
Nice. Wild dogs, dude.
Yeah, that's I hope that they all come home with a dog.
Everybody gets a new dog. It's like going to the ASPCA.
Everyone, and I'm sure those dogs are completely disease free.
Yes, I'm sure they've all had all their shots.
They'll all make it through customs because I'm quite confident that the veterinary care in Sochi is top notch.
No doubt. That's the one thing they pride themselves on.
Oh, man, dude. Well, yeah. How much Olympic hockey did you watch in the first week?
Well, I've watched the U.S. games and I've watched the recaps and the highlights of most of the other big games. Some of the Canada games. I think I watched the recap of one of the Sweden games. I haven't watched quite as much as I would have liked to, but I've seen enough, and I've seen plenty of the U.S., which is very encouraging.
Yeah, the U.S., I mean, hard to make a case against that they weren't the best team in the opening round, you know, especially with Sweden being kind of banged up now, no Zetterberg. They played well, but in an easier group, you know, United States looked pretty darn good. It's too bad, although that game against Russia is one that we'll be talking about for years because of the TJ Oshie rinse and repeat shootout, which I had no idea about that rule, dude. Did you know about that?
No, I had no idea. Just like throw him out there again and again. Keep going, buddy. Keep going. You're doing fine.
I was so confused. I was really confused. I was watching it with no sound because I was watching it, you know, listening. Can you imagine watching the Russia-US game in your living room while listening to Hakuna Matata? That's what was happening at my house.
But
it was the only way to watch it, you know, like to see it and not have to have some sort of, you know, meltdowns or milk breaks and things like that. So I didn't hear the explanation. You know, I had to kind of wait.
You're just like, huh? I guess, is he getting a do-over again and again? This doesn't make any sense.
So based on what you saw in that opening round, dude, what's your general assessment of A, the U.S.'s chances going forward, and B, who the biggest threat is for them to medal?
Well, I'm certainly pleasantly surprised by the U.S.'s chances. We didn't know exactly how the U.S. would do on the big ice in terms of offense. Those fears have been allayed. We have Phil Kessel scoring in bunches. We have plenty of scoring all over, and the U.S. is playing extremely well. And they're playing a pretty good defense, frankly. They're not giving up a lot of goals. They have I think they have the best goal differential of anyone in the tournament. Which is really nice to see. And, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised all the way around. I guess they started Ryan Miller to get him some practice. He looked good. Jonathan Quick has looked good. There's not much to complain about here, dude.
No. I mean, I think the only complaint is that they, you know, did a San Jose Sharks impression at the end of that Russian game and couldn't get the full points, which is too bad. You know, they weren't able to hold on to that lead. And what do you make of the disputed goal that is drawing protests in Sochi?
The rule's the rule. The net was off. It's I don't think that can be disputed. The net was off its moorings, and you can't score a goal in that condition. I know if it went the other way, we would be very upset about it. But I don't see how you can argue with the rule. It's not like they just made it up on the spot and they're like, yeah, no goal because let me think of something. It was it's in the rule book that no goal can be scored under those conditions. And you can certainly blame the refs for not noticing that earlier, blowing the play dead, etc. I don't see how Russia could honestly try and claim that this is something that goal should have been allowed. I don't see how you can say that.
No, it's the fans. You know, they're sour grapes. They had to play an extra game. They got a little bit of a tougher draw.
Sure.
You know, they're going to have to go through Finland. Then they're going to have to go through Sweden to get to gold. I just give that about a 0% chance of happening. I wasn't impressed with Russia, dude. And I mean, if there is a little, you know, mark of disappointment, you know, the U.S. team is clearly better. Russia doesn't really know doesn't seem like they have any clue what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If Datsyuk wasn't on that team, we would have blanked them.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're hot and cold. In some games, they've just dominated and they scored a ton of goals. And then other games, they just seem to can't get on the scoreboard. And what was it, 0-0 tie against Finland that they won in overtime or in the shootout?
Yeah, it was 0-0 against Slovakia.
Oh, Slovakia. That's right.
I mean, come on. I mean, after we saw how bad Slovakia got spanked by Slovenia.
Yeah, that's been by far the biggest surprise of the tournament is how bad Slovakia is. Because you look at their roster, it's not like they don't have any good players.
Right.
They got plenty.
They just couldn't put it together. I mean, they got worked. And, you know, it's interesting to see at the international level how it appears that, you know, being an NHL player for some countries doesn't mean jack, because they sort of threw Halak's NHL resume out the window after a bad first game and went with some random dude, you know, and he got beat today by the Czech Republic, who will be seen tomorrow. What do you make of that opponent, dude, the Czech Republic? Are you nervous at all about the Czech Republic?
No. I'm not. I'm not really. In three games, they had one regulation win and two regulation losses. So in their minus goal differential, I'm not that scared about the Czech Republic. I am scared about Canada. That's clearly the team that the U.S. could match up in the semifinals. That's a terrible draw for the U.S. They could easily lose that game. Canada hasn't looked necessarily as good as the U.S., but they've looked plenty good. And they've only given up two goals against, you know, for God's sakes. So
right.
They're doing fine. And, they're certainly, probably still the lead horse in this race, I would say.
Yeah, hard to dispute that. I do worry a little bit that the United States will put the cart before the horse and maybe look past Czech Republic a little bit. We can't discount that Czech Republic has some pretty good players, including David Krejci, Tomáš Plekanec, the ageless Jaromír Jágr, Aleš Hemský, Martin Hanzel. The U.S. needs to be careful. Like, they have experienced NHL defense. We should win. This team hasn't played well. There's been some wild dysfunction around this team ever since the team was picked, leaving off Verbata and all this garbage, right?
Right.
But and they almost blew it today against Slovakia after leading 4-0. But
oops.
But they need to be careful and not look ahead, you know? We've seen this in the NHL where a team is looking ahead to the next game and doesn't take care of business in the one at hand. Czech Republic doesn't suck.
Oh, no. No, not at all. They're a very good team. And, you look at a lot of their players. I mean, Milan Mihalić. You know, they got plenty of guys that can hurt you. You know, on sort of in all areas of the ice. I know we talked about Russia, and maybe they weren't quite as strong on D, and they had Bobrovsky. But you look at the Czech Republic, and they have good players all over the ice. They have Pavlik in net. They have, you know, Kaberle and Zbigniew Mihalić and Zidlicki on D. You know, they got good players all up and down the lineup. And there's no, and maybe they're not 100% NHL players, but there's not a lot of players that aren't NHL players, and they can definitely hurt you. And you get some of these guys that are, like the guy who's got the most goals doesn't even play in the NHL right now. So you can just see how some of these guys can get hot.
If you're looking at the other side of the bracket, Russia versus Finland, and then you have Sweden versus Slovenia, you're assuming Sweden gets past Slovenia. What do you think of Russia and Finland, dude?
I mean, Finland could give them fits. If they can't score against Slovakia, if they can't score against other teams, then they're going to have a lot of trouble scoring against Finland. I can see that.
Yeah, I'm calling it right now. Finland knocks them out.
Really?
Russia doesn't even get to the medal round. I'm calling it.
I mean, Finland held Canada to 2 goals. That's pretty good.
Finland, it's you could smell it. You could smell this coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Russia's been very inconsistent. They've had a hard time scoring. Their defense is not good. They've been, you know, very mediocre all across the board. You run into a team like Finland, which is, you know, a very good team with great goaltending. Russia loses that game. They lose it. They don't even get to play for a medal. And that will make me giggle.
they're an exciting team to watch. I'm not necessarily rooting against Russia. Because wouldn't you rather see like a Russia-US final again rather than Canada? I mean, haven't we seen enough of Canada at this point?
No.
You want to see the Sharks go get hurt? You want to see Vlasic and Marlowe get hurt playing more games?
Yes. No, I don't know, dude. There's just something about the Russian team, dude. It rubs me the wrong way.
Are you going Don Cherry on me now?
No, it bugs, dude. There's just something bugs about them. They should be like, I thought they were going to beat the U.S. I said that before the Olympics started. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to beat the U.S. and the U.S. is going to be the team that is coming out of the playing that extra game, but it didn't happen. And Russia was disappointing, and they should have. This was their opportunity to kind of clean up, and they've got a good group of forwards. Their D is not good, and they can't seem to decide who their goalie is. So it's a problem. And you look at their coaching; it's terrible.
Yeah,
they kind of deserve what I think they're going to get, which is in the Olympics where they should have been the most prepared, they appear to be not prepared, mm-hmm. and they're going to bow out. That's what I think, dude.
Yeah. It certainly looks like Finland's got their act together. That's for sure. You know, they're not giving up a lot of goals. Antti Niemi hasn't played a single minute for Finland, actually.
Fine with me.
Yeah. It looks like Tuukka Rask is getting, he's played, you know, 2 games. Leitinen's played 1 game essentially.
Yeah.
And,
Rask will play tomorrow, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's for sure.
He's their number one without a doubt.
So make some predictions here, dude. I'm saying Sweden and Finland and U.S. and Canada playing in the medal round, dude.
I can't argue with that. I think Sweden still, I believe, may be the best team. If I had to guess, I would say Sweden is the best team in the tournament. Canada's the best on paper, but Sweden might be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very scared of Sweden. It looks like we're not going to be playing them on the way to the finals, which is good. They got the best goalie, and they got great players everywhere in the lineup. I mean, Zetterberg not being in does make them not quite as scary. That means they're a little bit closer in terms of the scare factor to Canada. But Canada's still playing Chris Kunitz. So, you know, the U.S. has that going for him. That guy's getting shelled every time he's out on the ice. It's pretty funny.
Well, you know, he deserved to be there, dude.
Okay. sure. Let's say yes. Actually, one player that got some kudos today, which I'm sure you saw, dude, is Marc-Edouard Vlasic. We got Mike Babcock went out of his way to praise Vlasic, and Vlasic is the second half of a pair that is yielding the top goal scorer on the Canadian team in Drew Doughty.
So is Lombardi calling Doug Wilson, or is Doug Wilson calling Lombardi right now to try and keep this pair together?
Oh, come on. Both we both know that's never going to happen. Neither of those guys are available. Come on.
I know. It's just funny to think when Dean Lombardi picks up the phone and goes, "Hey, Kyle Clifford and a third
for Vlasic. Yeah, what do you think?" Oh man.
Aspiring yeah. contract of Willie Mitchell.
Yeah. It's kind of funny though. You look at some of these, Canada's only played three games, but if you look at some of the guys that haven't scored a lot, none of these guys is really surprising. Maybe Matt Duchene not having any points is the most surprising in terms of the Canadian roster, but Kunitz doesn't have any points. Tavares doesn't have any points, which is a little surprising. Rick Nash doesn't have any points, which I know he was sort of a controversial pick. Damn Ham Hughes doesn't have any points, but he hasn't played a whole heck of a lot. Bomeister doesn't have any points.
Those names surprise me. Those aren't the guys they're leaning on for offense. And I don't think Tavares is really playing a top line role with them, right? I mean, it's hard to keep track of. I haven't found like a good source for it, dude, like in terms of minutes played. And what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Sochi2014.com site and the team stats for that. And I think they're showing total time, which is weird. So they have like Patrick Marleau's stat line is 3 games played, 4 assists, 7 shots on goal. Time is 45 minutes and 39 seconds. So it's a little weird. It's total cumulative time.
So he's playing 15 minutes a night.
He's playing 15 minutes, yeah. But none of these guys are. I mean, Marleau's played more than Getzlaff. He's played more than Tavares and Perry and Bergeron and Carter. He's played only a minute and change less than Crosby. They're leaning pretty hard on Keith and Weber. They're leaning real hard on those guys. But everybody else, it's pretty well distributed.
Well, we'll have to see if there is an upset tomorrow, if Russia will get sent home. I assume that will be an upset if it happens. But hopefully when we talk next, dude, we'll be celebrating a U.S. unexpected run all the way to gold through Czech, through Canada, and through who we both think will be Sweden. What a run that would be, dude, and what an amazing international showing if that's what happens.
That would be a heck of a run, and Joe Pavelski's looked great. He's looked absolutely fantastic.
He has. He's been great. You cannot say anything negative about how the Sharks players have looked, the ones that have played. They've been real good, dude. They've been very good.
Right, yeah. Like we said, Vlasic's playing well with Doughty. Marleau, now that I look at all the stats, he has the third most minutes behind only Crosby and Jonathan Toews. That's pretty damn good. This is a guy who some people thought wouldn't make the team at all, and he's third among forwards in minutes. And then obviously Joe Pavelski scoring assists in bunches when he's with Phil Kessel.
Yeah. That line's been pretty dynamic. The first, 5 minutes of that Slovenia game with Pavelski and Kessel was pretty hilarious, actually.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Maybe we can get Kessel. Let's get Kessel and Doughty.
We should. Yeah.
James Shepherd in a fifth?
It could happen, dude. Dude, have you been watching the curling? Let's get to the brass tacks here.
No.
Not at all? No curling?
Dude, I told
nothing?
You, dude, the only way I can watch the Olympics is if I put Hakuna Matata on.
You don't need any sound to watch curling, dude. There's really no sound that makes any difference at all.
Yeah,
all you hear is people yell, hard, hard, and then sweeping. There's nothing to listen to.
I have no interest in curling.
Oh, it's so good. It's chess on ice, dude.
Well,
chess on ice. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good. It sounds really exciting, chess on ice.
Maybe I'll catch it next time.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. All right, dude, is there any other news that we need to talk about? Anything coming back? Have you been paying attention to Kurz's different questions that he's been answering on the CSN Bay Area site?
No. Have you?
A little bit. You know, some of it are I wouldn't say are necessarily controversial questions. You know, for instance, the latest question was, can Anaheim be caught? And the answer pretty clearly is no. it's gonna be basic. Like, the Ducks would have to go on like an epic slide, and the Sharks would have to go on an epic run at the exact same time,
right?
Which seems rather unlikely at this point. So, you know, I understand. You gotta get some pages.
I did see, I think, the question from yesterday, which was, you know, about the forward lines, and it sure sounds like Torres is on track to be back when the games return next week. And Couture, he's been tweeting a lot about going on vacation, so it seems like he's feeling pretty good. If everybody's back, you know, maybe they don't have to make a trade in terms of have to. But the interesting part was, you know, if everyone's healthy, as we expected, who's the odd man out, dude?
Well, according to Kurz, Shepard's out. They have Nieto in the lineup. They have Kennedy in the lineup. So
Martin Havlat
is not in this four lines that Kurz is showing here. They don't have Martin Havlat anywhere here.
Yeah, so. And that's not surprising. I mean, he hasn't really earned that, and I'm glad that he's not going to be playing on the fourth line. They're going to play, according to Kurz, Mike Brown.
That's true, and he backs it up with a quote from Doug Wilson. Desjardins, Burris, and Brownie to me are the kind of fourth line you want: energy, bite, some speed. It's true. That's what they have. That's one thing Mike Brown has. He's not a slow, lumbering, goon type player like we've seen the Sharks have sometimes in the past, where they get the grit guy, the guy who's willing to drop the gloves, be a very big dude that doesn't have a lot of hockey skill. Maybe Mike Brown doesn't have the best hands in the NHL, but he's certainly willing to skate at top speed, hit everything that moves, willing to forecheck hard, play hard, backcheck hard, and those aren't necessarily qualities that we've seen in that kind of player on the Sharks in the past. So, you know, I'm not going to say I'm thrilled by the prospect of seeing Mike Brown in the lineup every night, but I mean, at this point, if your line mates are going to be Desjardins and Burrish, I'd rather have him than Martin Havlat at this point.
I don't buy that in May they're going to be playing Mike Brown. We've seen it over and over and over again with the Sharks, where they have this type of player, Jamal Mayers, you know, a Brad Winchester, and the coaching staff quickly tires of the penalties, of the over-aggressiveness, and they end up sitting. And so, you know, if they're really going to try and sell me that Mike Brown is going to be playing in May, I don't buy it, dude. I think that they may still need to try and get one more guy back there.
That's a good point. I mean, and so I guess you're not a big believer in James Shepard, who has some better skills. He's not just going to be a bruiser.
So then shouldn't he be playing over Brown now? Why wait until May and let him sit until then? I think they don't have any confidence in him. Like, if they like him so much, he should be playing.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe they want Brown to turn into a little bit more of. I mean, Brown fills the fourth line role better than Shepard does.
He does in the regular season.
Right.
He does.
Right.
But in the playoffs, you're going to put out James Shepard, who will have sat the majority of the final 23 games. I'm not super stoked about that, dude.
Well, that's when Martin Havlat comes in and saves the day, dude.
All right, dude. We'll be hoisting a gold medal before you know it.
Yes, we will. And, of course, after we talk next week, we'll be going to Vegas. So there will be more activity on that front that hopefully the listeners can participate in.
That's right. You just got a big smile from the missus when you said that. Big
nice.
Smile.
Vegas.
Vegas.
All right, dude. I will talk to you next week.
See you, dude.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.